I thought somebody was trying to get my attention. Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4 this morning. Once again, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're back here. Pray for those who are still out. We have some people still sick. Pray that they can meet back with us sooner than later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth, Lord. Now I know we've had a good time in the house of the Lord already, singing and lifting up our voices to you. And I thank you that we're able to do that. I thank you that we're able to sing that devil-hating music. Lord, I love our Savior. And Lord, we want to lift Him up this morning. But now, Lord, as we go into this hour, Lord, help us to understand the blood and the blood sacrifice. And Lord, that it's only by the blood that we can come to know you. Lord, if there's someone under the sound of my voice today that don't know you, and Lord, maybe they're basing their salvation off of something other than your name, Lord, help them today. Lord, use my voice as just a messenger, Lord. But Lord, you speak to them directly with your Holy Spirit. Lord, bind the devil off this place. We don't want him here. Holy Spirit, just come in and meet with us. Cleanse me of sin now. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit this morning, Lord. Meet with us now. Meet with our junior church workers and our kids back there. Thank you for just letting us be in church today. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Genesis chapter 4, we'll get right into it. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Notice the word firstlings. That's plural, okay? So that means there was more than what? One, okay? So keep that in mind. That's very, very important to understand here. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? I want to preach a message this morning to the best of my ability. What's wrong with my sacrifice? What is wrong with my sacrifice? Here we have a mom, a dad, Adam and Eve, and we have two boys. We have one boy that was born to be a tiller of the ground, and we have the other boy that was born to just to be a keeper of the sheep. Well, one boy, he's a tiller of the ground. He's probably a hard worker. No doubt he's strong. He's probably a good-looking young man. He's got it all figured out. He knows what work is all about. He knows what it's like to get his hands dirty. You know, that's what we need in America, some more boys today that ain't scared to get their hands dirty. Amen? Look, that's a good thing. Amen. We need some boys that need to understand their place. And Cain did understand his place. He was a tiller of the ground. He was a hard worker. No doubt he was a good servant of his mom and dad. He produced a lot of good fruit, a lot of good food, no doubt. A lot of things came from the hands of Cain. But here we have Abel on the other side of things. When it was time to offer a sacrifice, the Bible says Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. See, Abel understood that it was not what he was capable of doing that was going to be a good enough sacrifice for the Lord. Cain, on the other hand, goes out, gets some of his flock, brings it before the Lord and says, look what I've done. Look what I have created. Look what I have the ability to do with my hands. I'm a strong man. I'm a tiller of the ground. I work hard. I provide for my family. And Lord, let me just show you what I've grown this year. But oh, Abel understood something. He understood that the blood sacrifice was the sacrifice that God was looking for. And can I tell you this morning? Man, woman, boy, girl, if you're listening to me, it's still the blood. It's not what you are capable of doing. You can't give enough money. You can't come to church enough. You can't lead enough people to the Lord because, by the way, it's about the Word anyway, not about you. You can't sing enough in church. You can't sing in the choir. You can't be a member of the church and go to heaven. Look, guys, it's got to be the blood. So we're going to establish that this morning. Cain wanted to show off his own good work with his offering. God does not look upon what you and I have done. He looks for the blood. So what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? Well, it was prideful. I'm not going to have you turn to these. I got them written down for time's sake. Cain's sacrifice was prideful. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs, you know what that means? That means no matter how many people you get on your pride train with you, every single one of you are going to fall because of your pride. It doesn't matter who you think you got with you. It doesn't matter what that guy's name is in the church. It doesn't matter what prideful preacher you might have on your board. Listen, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, and enough of you will never rise up to be able to defeat God. He will bring you down. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. God is not interested in how good you think you are. He doesn't care about your abilities. He cares about your obedience. Jesus himself said in John 14:15, if you love me, he said what? Keep my commandments. That's what he says. You know what else he said? To obey is better than sacrifice. So what commandments should I be keeping? Well, many of us like to live our lives and we think about the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. But those are just a few of what we should be keeping. And we do our best to live by these, but we forget about the first and greatest commandments. Go to Matthew chapter number 22. You might say, I do pretty good on the Ten Commandments. I never killed nobody. Maybe some of you never stole anything. Hopefully none of you have ever committed adultery. Hopefully you honor the Sabbath day. Hopefully you're obeying your parents. Hopefully you're not doing this, doing that. But look at Matthew chapter 22. But let's see if we're following these commandments. Matthew 22:34. The Bible says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, now look, here's a lawyer now. Everybody likes a good lawyer, right? Asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I wonder what that lawyer said after that. He probably didn't have much to say. And if we'd be honest, we ain't got much to say to that either. Because there we go. Oh, I abide by the Ten Commandments. I don't do that. I don't kill. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I go to church on Sunday. I remember the Sabbath day. I try to keep it holy. Hey, but what about this? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. How do I know if I love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? Let me ask you this. What does your heart desire? When's the last time your heart desired and anguished over a lost soul? When's the last time you thought about a wayward child or a wayward mom or a wayward dad or a wayward church member and you burned inside with anguish and all you could think about was bringing their name to the Father and asking the Lord, please break the heart of this individual. When's the last time you went and knocked on somebody's door? When's the last time you took a gospel tract and just said, look, I don't know what to tell you, but read this. That's okay. You know what God said? His word will not return what? Void. That's not writing a blank check, people. Or a bad check. That thing works. The Bible works. When's the last time you just burdened for your Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher? When's the last time you didn't just show up and you show up unprepared and you just do it just out of repetitiveness? Look, we're all guilty of this stuff. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And what is our soul made of? Our mind, emotion, and what? Wow. Think about that. Do I really love the Lord with all my soul? Is everything I put into my mind that I let come into my mind honoring God? Or am I letting stuff into my mind that's affecting my emotions, that's predicting the outcome of my will? That's my soul. Am I letting this stuff interfere with my relationship with my Savior? Folks, the Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I wonder how many of you could just look to your left. Go ahead, look to your left. Now look to your right. And now, don't lie, but say, I love that person I just looked at more than I love myself. That's a tough one, isn't it? Because see, we all care about the guy in the mirror, don't we? As, you know, I was a Deion Sanders fan last Sunday. But then this week, he did something. No, listen, pride goeth before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before a big old fall. But here's what happened. They asked him the question, who do you think the greatest college football coach of all time is? He said, can someone get me a mirror? Folks, look, the Deion train just derailed last night, in case y'all didn't know that. He got humbled last night is what happened. You know, who would ever say that? The greatest coach of all time would never say, I'm the best coach. We all know who that is. It's okay if we say that. Nick Saban would never say that, though, would he? Has he ever proclaimed to be the best? But is he the best? Yes, he is. And we know that. But he would never say that. You want to know why he continues to build a legacy there? And look, I know we're off subject a little bit, but look, he's not a very prideful dude. He believes in hard work. He believes in integrity. He's got good character. He believes in raising those guys to be more than football players, but young men. He disciplines them when they mess up, no matter what their name is. Hey, see what I'm saying? But what about us as Christians? That's how we should act. But pride goeth before destruction. I wonder, when you look in the mirror, do you say, you're the most important person in the room? You're the most important person I'm going to see at church all day. And I'll only see you a couple times when I go in to get my hair fixed or, you know, wash your hands. You'll see him again. Hey, buddy. Look, people think of themselves like this. But did you know the Bible says to love thy neighbor as thyself? You know, Cain, he focused on himself and thought he could earn the Lord's respect by things that he had done. He was not focused on reverence and honor to the Lord. He was not focused on obeying God with his sacrifice. He was focused solely on Cain himself. You ever think about that? It was all about what Cain had done. And look, we're all guilty. We love to look at what we can create. When we design something or we come up with a good idea, what's the first thing you like to do? First of all, you better test it and make sure it's going to work, right? So the next guy don't say, hey, that's not going to work. But when you test it and you know it's going to work, and man, you want to go tell somebody about it, right? Because you're proud of what you have done. But here's what we forget. Who gave us the brain? Who created the brain that gave you the knowledge to come up with that? Who created that? God did. That's God's design. Instead of saying, man, look what I've done, say, God, thank you for giving me enough common sense and knowledge to figure this thing out. And God says, hey, that's what I'm looking for. Someone that can give respect and reverence to whom it belongs. But Cain was focused on a self-made sacrifice. Many of us are just like Cain. We think the things we do will help or allow us to gain favor with God. I wrote some things down. Hey, the sacrifice of preaching, can I tell you this morning? It ain't going to get me to heaven. I can preach till all of us are gone, till I'm blue in the face, till I'm dead and gone. But did you know that if I don't know Jesus? Now, the message is still powerful. Don't get me wrong. It's not about the messenger. It's about the what? The message. So I could preach until I die and split hell wide open. Did you know that? It could absolutely happen. It's not going to. I can assure you of that. Number two, the sacrifice of singing praises to God will not get you to heaven. As joyful and as fun as it is to stand up, and how many enjoyed the choir today? Say amen. I mean, I loved hearing it. My wife said, how did it sound? I said, it was good. It was very loud. It was good to see a choir singing in a church. And as fun as that is, you know, you can sacrifice, come to choir practice, give up an hour of your nap on Sunday afternoon, make it to church an hour early, practice. That choir special will sound real good, but who are we singing it for? Who's it about? Are we singing for us? It's not a very good thing to go down. Did you hear how good I sounded up there? You want my honest opinion? No, I didn't say, you know. But look, who are we singing for? we're singing for the Lord. So that sacrifice is not going to get us to heaven. What about the sacrifice of soul winning? Will that get us there? Man, we can go out and we can open up this Bible, because there again, it's not about the messenger, it's about the what? You know, a lost man could read this and have a head knowledge of how to tell someone else how to get saved. Did you know that? And if the Holy Spirit convicts that young man or lady or old man or old lady and convicts him unto salvation, that lost man could take this Bible that's perfect, spotless, pure, holy, don't need to be messed with Bible, and lead someone to the Lord, as lost as he can be, and he could die and go to hell. How? Because he don't know Jesus, right? So it's not about what he did. How about the sacrifice of, you know, we don't have a bus route here yet, but Lord willing, someday we'll be able to run a bus route here, a van route, and go around and pick up kids that can't get to church. I mean, but did you know that that's a big ministry, and that's a real sacrifice of a ministry? I'll tell you right now, I've worked in it for years. It's a good time. It's a very rewarding ministry. But here's the deal. I could pick up kids forever, for years and years and years. I could drive a bus. I could sacrifice my time on Saturdays and during the week to go pick them up. But hey, I can die and go to hell doing that. Say, Brother Drew, why do you keep saying this? Well, this is what the Lord wanted to preach today, so I have no doubt somebody's here that needs this. Number five, the sacrifice of teaching Sunday school. You say, God would let me die and go to hell even though I sacrifice my time for those little children? No, no, God wouldn't let you go to hell. You chose to go to hell because you rejected Jesus. You can teach Sunday school all you want, but it's not the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The sacrifice of playing instruments in the church. Hey, everyone loves our piano players, right? They're nice ladies, and I'm not picking on you ladies. Please don't get me wrong. They're wonderful ladies, good homes. But did you know they could be kind, they could look nice, they could dress nice, they could play beautiful music on Sunday mornings and not know Jesus? You know who gave them the ability to play the piano? God did. Did you know they could reject Jesus and play some of the most beautiful music? And by the way, Satan was a musician. He's going to hell. That's not going to get us there. The time spent in the ministry will not get you there. The sacrifice of maintenance at the church, not going to get you there. The sacrifice of going to church will not get you there. So why do you keep talking about this? Well, look, just since I've been in Red Level, I mean, Red Level, Prattville, Seward, you name it, I don't think I've ever been anywhere where I said, hey, how do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, well, I got baptized. Can I tell you something? Water does not get you to heaven. That is not a biblical principle. Someone has lied to you. There's nowhere in the King James Bible that you're going to find that baptism is essential for heaven. Now, it is essential to the believer for obedience. I mean, Jesus himself got baptized because it's a representation of who you are in Christ Jesus to the world. That's all it is. Outward appearance of an inward change. It is not going to get you to heaven. So don't ever let mom and dad tell you, oh, well, you got baptized when you were 3 and 4 years old. You're going, no, you're not. No, you're not. It's a lie. Baptism won't get you there. Church membership won't get you there. Folks, this is very real. And it's nothing to play with. You're not promised another breath. You don't know when you're going to breathe your last breath. And I'm telling you, when you do, that's your appointment. And you can't change it. But God's given you a chance. All these things that I just mentioned, we're capable of doing on our own. You know, I don't really, and don't take this the wrong way, but I don't need Jesus to come to church. Do I? Lost people come to church all the time. Do they not? I don't need Jesus. Now, I need him if I want some power in my preaching. But hey, I don't need him to open up this thing and tell you guys some stuff. I don't need him to come in here to open up a song, but I don't need that. What I need is the blood. What I need is the blood sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the only begotten Son. Abel understood that without the blood sacrifice, it was all in vain. Look at Exodus chapter 12. We're almost done. Exodus chapter 12. And please, if you're here this morning and you don't know him, please don't dare walk out of these doors knowing that if you died, you'd split hell wide open. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a what, church? A lamb." And did you remember that story with Abraham and Isaac when God said he will provide himself? He literally gave himself a lamb, did he not? Praise the Lord. The Bible is so fun to read. "According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without what?" Folks, who's the only lamb that ever died without blemish? It was God, wasn't it? Jesus. He was the only sinless sacrifice. You know, the Bible teaches without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's very important that you have that lamb without blemish. "A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the what? Blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." You know, I love talking about the blood. You remember when the death angel passed over Egypt that night? And they had, and man, if their home was covered by the blood, what did the death angel do? He passed over them. Why? Because they were covered by the blood, church. It's got to be the blood sacrifice. When God sees the blood, he sees pure, he sees holy, he sees sinless, he sees without spot or blemish, he sees perfect. Folks, he sees Jesus. I'm so thankful. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he washed me, this I know. Hey, how about you? What about you? When he looks down, does he see you or does he see Jesus? Because let me tell you something. If you have Jesus, he don't see you. He sees his Son. Jesus is the sacrifice that God cares about. Three short things here. How important is the blood sacrifice? Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. So how important is this sacrifice? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Can I say, without this blood sacrifice, there is no remission of sins. In other words, you'll still be held accountable for your sins that someone else already paid for. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with what, church? And without the shedding of what? Is no remission." Hebrews 9:12, back just a few verses. Can I say, without the blood, there's no redemption? "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own what? He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." And look at this verse, Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Can I say this? There's no replacement for the blood. There's no replacement for Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be" what, church? So it's got to be through Jesus. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Go to John chapter 3. This is everybody's go-to verse. Probably the first verse that everybody in here learned by memory. John 3:16. Look what it says. "For God so loved the" what, church? So he died for everybody. that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what, church? He that believeth on him, Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, what he's saying is, if you have not believed, if you are sitting here today under the sound of this preacher or any other preacher, listen, if you're sitting here today and you know that you're going to die and you're going to go to hell, the Bible says you are condemned already. But here's the good news. You can change that. You can change that. You don't have to leave here condemned. Keep reading. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus is that light, by the way. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know why you don't want to get saved? The Bible just summed it up for you. The reason you are scared to get saved, the reason you are scared to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is because you know that when you do that, things are going to change. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are created a new creature in Christ Jesus. That things are going to change. Why are you so scared of change? Are you really willing to risk another moment, not knowing if it's going to be your last one or not? If God has brought you here today and you're under the sound of my voice, or like I said, any other voice, and the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you and told you of your need for a Savior, folks, listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's not too late. You still have a chance. Miss Barb's going to come. There's going to be a time of invitation here. Listen, if you don't know the Lord today, I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity of a lifetime. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Please, no one looking around. Listen, we don't want to mess around with eternity. She's going to play a hymn of invitation. Can you play Just As I Am, Miss Barb? Thank you. She's going to play a song, Just As I Am. You know what that means? That Jesus Christ is ready to take you just as you are. You don't have to do anything but believe. This morning, as the piano begins to play, if that's you this morning, and the Holy Spirit has convicted you, why don't you do something about that this morning? Listen, I'm right here. If you want to come down and meet with me, I'll be glad to take a Bible and show you how you can know that you know that you know that you're going to go to heaven. Let me ask a question. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Is there someone in here today that would just be honest? Look, I'll not call you out, I promise. But is there someone in here that would just say, Brother Drew, I don't know if I would go to heaven when I die, but I sure would like to know. Is there someone in here like that? Maybe you don't want to get out of your seat, but listen, let me pray for you. We can talk after church. That's fine too. Is there someone in here like that that would just say, Brother Drew, that's me. I'm tired of not knowing. I don't want to mess around with eternity anymore. All you need to do is raise your hand. Let me pray for you. There's one. Praise the Lord. Look, I can pray for two just like I can for one. Anybody else? Anyone else? Brother, we got a young man in the back right now. If you raise your hand and you want to go back and meet with him, you're welcome to. He's waiting on you. He'll take the Bible, or you can meet me after church. Listen, folks, don't mess around with eternity. If that was you and you raised your hand, there's a man right back there right now waiting on you. He's ready to show you in the Bible how you can know that you know. Just get up out of your seat and head to the back. He's right there waiting on you. If you want to talk later, that's fine too. But listen, folks, please don't mess around with eternity. Jesus is ready to take you just like you are. Let's all stand and let's sing that hymn number 524. We'll sing the first and last verse and we'll be dismissed this morning.